Alrighty, it's Monday night, really, because it's dark out. And
super dark.
I know. And VOBS is coming up. Liz Atherton is our guest. We got some tech stuff tonight. We're going to show you how to do something really cool using Twisted Wave and maybe something
huge
else.
Time saver.
Oh, yes. Come on up on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away, please.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together, in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, to bring you all the latest technology, today's voiceover superstars, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products. Source Elements, makers of Source Connect, Source Connect Pro, and Source Connect Now. VO2GoGo.com, everything you need to become a successful voice artist. VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success. The VO Dojo, take your voiceover career all the way. J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters. And by VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your voice actor website shouldn't be a pain in the butt.
And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening, I'm Dan Leonard.
Where are the batteries? Oh, I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS.
Yes.
Wow. You know, I got to change that opening shot because the killer tomatoes are no longer there.
Now
it's just lettuce and onions and strawberries.
We need a seasonal opener.
I know. Maybe that's what we'll do. maybe throw leaves down there and stuff. Anyway, this is VoiceOver Body Shop,
and
we're here to talk about home voiceover studios, and we're here to talk about the voiceover business, and we're here to talk about our businesses, and we're here to talk about anything you want to talk about. That's why we have a chat room. And the amazing Jack Daniel is in our chat room as our social media manager. And if you have a question for George and I, then also you can put it in the chat room. Technical question. We love to get technical questions about voiceover home studios, right?
We're not here to talk about our problems. We're here to talk about yours.
Right.
We had a few tonight, but we are firing on all cylinders now, folks.
All right.
All 32 radial cylinders.
That's right. So lots of interesting things that went on in voiceover this week. So perhaps we should go to...
And now, the VoiceOver Extra VOBS News, the latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news, brought to you live.
Alrighty, the VoiceOver Extra News, winners and passion. Tonight we talk about winning and passion. First, congratulations to all of the winners and finalists in the 4th Annual Voice Arts Awards Competition. Winners were announced at a drippingly elegant and slow gala in Lincoln Center, New York, presented by SVOAS, the Society for Voice Arts and Sciences. In an entertaining ceremony lasting nearly 3 hours, scores and scores of awards were given for outstanding performances, capped with an honor for outstanding body of work to versatile performer Rod Houston.
Yay!
You may know him as the voice of the NFL, but he's everywhere! He's everywhere! You can read all about the gala and the entire list of winners now at voiceoverextra.com.
We have to add that the competition itself is a winner in continuing to raise the visibility of voiceover to the general public. SVOAS even lit up a Times Square billboard about
it. Wow, it was a big billboard.
And this also brings our memories back to the early days of VO conferences when James Alberger and Penny Absher started their annual voice conferences, replete with red carpet receptions and black tie banquets. Many, many regional and national conferences have ensued, starting and refreshing hundreds and probably thousands of successful VO careers and friendships.
Absolutely.
That's where we met. And they've guided many to winning competitions like the Voice Arts Awards.
But what truly can set a winner apart from, well, the rest of the pack? Certainly, you need talent and persistence, but also passion. In an article coming soon to the VoiceOver Extra newspaper, voice talent Andres Berrio shares what motivates him in his career. And ironically, it's not a love of doing voiceovers. Sounds strange.
Yeah. Andres says, and the prompter doesn't know that word, so I'll say Andres says.
Okay.
Or we'll just let it rock and roll and Andrew will help out. There we go. The truth is, my business as a voice actor boils down to connecting and engaging. I am passionate about connecting people together and engaging in the human experience. That's his passion. And he adds that he does this by expressing my personal convictions through a script written by my client and intended to be heard by their customers. Think about it.
Absolutely. All right. So this article and plenty more are right there. You will be able to see them over at voiceoverextra.com. Read more about Andres' motivation and, of course, all about the Voice Arts Awards and the winners at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success. And it's all free right there.
Free. Fantastic.
So
sometimes the best stuff is free.
Yeah. There was a big internet outage today.
Actually, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, you weren't on the internet. It was pretty nasty, apparently.
What kind of outage? It
wasn't a DNS thing. Things was just crazy. You know, I mean, Zoom wasn't working well this morning. People were just having trouble communicating.
Yeah.
Apparently it's still.
Yeah. We had to restart our router, which is something we should do, but we don't because it pretty much works every single week, except tonight. We don't know if it was related to the outage on the internet or if it was just time. But anyway, always restart your router before doing mission critical work, folks. It's never a bad idea. Yeah. Sometimes your router could be on for weeks, if not months. And think about it, the router is really just a little computer.
Yep.
It's a little tiny server hooked to the internet in your house that you forget about. It's off in a closet or collecting dust behind your TV.
Yeah.
Probably a good idea to restart it maybe once a month.
Yeah. Talking of mission critical, something about the Epigee mic?
Yeah. Well, it's through one of my clients, trusted clients, who I does, let's say, movie trailers for this little magical company in the Valley.
Okay.
Disney. And he was trying to get his jobs done while he was off on a vacation, but he was decided to rely on his Epigee mic. Cool little product. A lot of us have these things. That's why I bothered to do this story, because a lot of people have the Epigee mic.
I have one.
And he found out the hard way that if you upgrade your iPhone or your iPad to iOS 11, your Epigee mic may just mysteriously stop working. It's true. Apparently, there's some sort of a need to install a firmware update. A firmware is the
must
thing...
Must install.
Yes, it's the thing inside any computer device that tells the thing what to do. It's the sort of the software inside the mic or the interface, whatever it is. It's the software inside. It needed to be updated. What we found out, interestingly enough, was that it was actually because he had the new mic, the new version, the Mic 96K,
yes,
that he had this problem.
Ah.
He found out rather randomly that later on, when he went back home from his vacation, he pulled his other mic out of a drawer. He has two because he forgot one on one of his trips and he had to buy another one. That the other one just worked, plug and play on iOS 11.
So it was the 96K.
It was the 96K version of the mic. So the trick here is you have to upgrade the firmware. And the thing, it's not really Apple's fault. Kind of is Apple's fault. Yes, it's Apple's fault. They keep upgrading stuff and breaking everybody's hardware. It's a pain. But anyway, to get it to work again, you have to have a Mac with you. And that's why he was dead in the water. Mm. He took a trip, decided to travel light, bring his Epigee mic. He had his iPhone and he had his iPad Pro. The iPad Pro was already on iOS 11 and the phone kept nagging him. And I'm sure you guys are going through this because I've told you in the past episodes, maybe three or four ago, to not upgrade to iOS 11. If your phone is forcing you to upgrade just by sheer persistence, persistence, you need to look out for this, because this is what happened to him. He upgraded the iOS and no longer would the mic talk to the phone. It just shut him out. And yes, the fix, install and upgrade. Problem is, got to have an actual Mac to install this firmware upgrade, which he didn't have. Thankfully, there's a studio not too terribly far away, about an hour away. He was able to go there, get his job done, have the engineer there do the help him do the upgrade, and he was back in business. But let that just be a cautionary tale for you. It's nice traveling light, going simple, having an Apogee mic and an iPhone and going for it. But man, I'll tell you, if you rely on this gear for your living, if there's a major television or film studio relying on your voice to get a campaign done, you probably should have another device with you, like a regular old MacBook. Just be ready for anything.
one of these.
A MacBook Air. You can even buy one of the older MacBook 11-inch Airs used for $500. Just so you have an actual Mac. They're not very heavy either.
No, they're not. Well, this one weighs almost nothing.
Yeah, 2.5 pounds or something. So let that be a little lesson to you. Got to have a backup.
All righty. All right. Well, we've got some cool stuff to show you in just a minute here about using Twisted Wave and how to divide up your files. And we've got Liz Atherton as our guest tonight. She is a voiced talent agent and actually an all-around agent. Mm-hmm. And she'll be joining us from New York City if she hasn't fallen asleep yet. And we'll be with all of that right after this, so don't go away.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Everything you need to be a successful VO artist. VOToGoGo.com's curriculum is a 5-time winner of Backstage Magazine's Reader's Choice Award for Best VO Classes and Best VO Teacher, David H. Lawrence, the 17th. It's 36 classes online or in person across a year-long course featuring not just classes in the art of VO, but also in the commerce and science of running your VO business. And each month's class day includes a workout class for all participants. Now, you can unlock the entire curriculum at once. Over 45 hours of training videos, audio samples, and live workouts where you work on mic. Get more details and sign up for the pro membership to save money at VO2GoGo.com/VOBS. That's VO2GoGo.com/VOBS. VO2GoGo.com. Everything you need to be a successful voiceover artist.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some VoiceOver with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
And we are back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. And, you know, if you got a tech question, again, throw it in the chat room, and the amazing Jack Daniel will relay that question to us, and we will answer that question. But I wanted to talk about something tonight that is a tremendous time saver. If you use Twisted Wave, if you're on a Mac. Now, if you're not on a Mac, I think you can still go online and use Twisted Wave.
Yeah, there is Twisted Wave online. I don't know if all these marker features will work the same way, but give it a shot.
Anyway. Okay, but say you use Adobe Audition. Well, tell you what, let's take a look at this on
DAWView 2017.
All righty. Well, here we are in Adobe Audition. Here's something I recorded.
Did you just hear me saying all that, Andrew? Yeah, I knew it. You're laughing.
Yeah, okay. All right. So here's something I recorded. Of course, in perfect modulation, as you can see.
I is a broadcaster.
Yes.
I'll turn on your audio,
David
Dan.
Purchased.
Okay.
David bought rather than conquered the land, for the temple is a symbol of peace.
All right, so this is an e-learning piece, even though it's religious in nature. Mm-hmm. But it, just to show you, if you have a client that's asking you to do an e-learning read for a PowerPoint presentation or something, or they're using Camtasia or one of those programs, and you've got to divide it up to, say, 150 files.
Or 6,000.
Right. Yeah. You ever try to record 150,000, 150 files and then mess it up? Go back. Here's how I do this.
Okay.
And I've been doing this for 10 years and it works great.
Chances are you found a way to save some time.
When I discovered this, it was amazing.
Game changer.
Right. All you got to do is put in markers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Adobe Audition, you can do this. But in order to make it happen, it has to happen in Twisted Wave. Hopefully, Adobe Audition will add this feature along somewhere either.
So this can happen in Audition or no?
Well, you can, if you're using Audition,
yeah,
you can set it up in Audition and then just go to Twisted Wave and have it do
that. So in other words, you use them in conjunction
with
each other.
I work with, I only want to use one platform. No, you got to have a number of things.
All right.
So here's how it works. So all you got to do, say you want to have a half second between the end of the last file and the beginning of the next file.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to a half second and you create, at a half second, you put a marker, which is usually just the M key. And
as it is in Twisted Wave.
Right. All right, so back again. See, now it's doing funny things to me. Okay, now just put down the M key. There we go. And get rid of this marker. Edit marker, delete selected marker. Okay, cool. All right, so you create a 1 second file.
Piece of room tone?
Just silence.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. You put the marker in the middle, and you hit Command-C or copy, and then it will immediately create, by copying that in there, a 1 second gap, as you can see, between, there's a half second here and a half second there. And then you can do the same on the next file.
Okay.
Now, the way I normally do this is I'll say, slide 3, and then just edit that out and then just put that in there.
Oh, I see. Because you have a slate saying what the slide is.
Right.
You just replace the slate with this chunk
of. So you know exactly what, you never make a mistake with what slide
and it has
is.
A room, and it has the marker right in the center of it.
That's right. Exactly.
That's a very important part of
this. All right. And then do it on here. Then in markers, which is right here, what you do is you can rename the markers. So marker, the first one we have is marker 5 here.
Mm-hmm.
And we just double tap on that and go slide 1. And then you can actually copy that. Command C, and then do the same thing here. Command V, slide 2. And then right here.
So what you're doing is you're making an even gap between every read with a marker in the center of it.
Right. Exactly.
That's what's important about the prep here.
Right. And you do all your processing. Every file, every slide is going to sound the same. You read through the entire script, which will save you all sorts of time.
Do you do the processing here in Audition first, or do you take it to Twisted Wave?
I do the processing in Audition because that's where my stacks are and everything.
Uh-huh.
And it, it makes me sound the way I'm supposed to sound. And
so then, what's the Twisted Wave part for?
Well, here we go. Well, you save the file. All right, okay, we're jumping down. That's okay, fine. I don't care. All right, so then you go into Twisted Wave, and you import that same file.
And look at that, the markers are there.
Right, the markers are there. And all you have to do, and the thing is you can also rename the markers here, slide 2, and all you do is you click on that little triangle, slide 3.
Right.
All right. So each one of these is named. There's a perfect gap between each one of these slides.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to markers, split by markers.
This is the magic sauce.
Unclick the name of the file.
Right.
And then all you have to do is click, where are you going to send it to? You create a folder for it. And boom.
Bingo.
And where are they? They're in my music folder somewhere. And you can see them slide. There they are, right there. And it just completely,
wow.
I mean, just like that. I mean, you have to take the time to edit it, but
yeah,
dividing them into individual slides, boom, that's all there is to
it. The actual editing, you still have to, you know, record, you still have to edit, still has to sound good.
Right.
You know, you still have to have spaces between the files. Those are still your job, but this last part of it saves huge amounts of time.
Huge amounts of time.
I recently, this came up on one of the forums as well, and there was an issue about, or a question about naming. So you obviously name them manually.
Right.
But apparently that could be tedious if you have to name a couple thousand.
It will number them for you.
It will auto. I do know that it will auto sequence.
Right.
There's also a batch process thing where it will, you can say add a suffix.
Right.
And it could say suffix and then add numbers.
Right.
And if all that isn't good enough, have you ever heard of an app called Name Changer?
I have actually.
Yeah. There's an app called Name Changer. I think it's free.
Ooh, even better.
Yeah, actually, I got to give Jack DeGoli, I believe, credit for this.
Jack.
He mentioned this in the Twisted Wave Facebook group, which is a fantastic group, by the way, for Twisted Wave people. And that's a way, once you have all these files spit out, if you have a naming sequence you have to use that you couldn't do with Twisted Wave, you can try Name Changer.
Right.
To change all the names of those files.
Very cool.
So
this is a lifesaver. Boy, when I started doing this, it's increased my productivity time threefold, you know, and since there's like a 3-to-1 ratio with editing and long format stuff, this cuts that by 2/3. It's amazing how you do it.
Yeah.
Of course, and the more you edit, the better you get at it.
Sure.
You know, it's one of those things, you know, and if you practice something, do it every day, it's going to help you out. And that's why we show you that.
Well, since I want to talk about a little side topic.
Go for it.
Kind of related. And that is how much time you invest
time,
in any one time, said time. Project.
Right.
Okay. This is a topic that came up in discussion recently. Maxine Dunn, my girlfriend, was saying, you know, how she's really big into putting this, you know, putting the full effort into every job, because every job is important. Every client is important.
Every client.
And every project that client does, it's important to them. It doesn't matter what you, the talent, are being paid.
Right.
You should still do the same quality work for no matter what. But is there a limit to that, right?
Right.
Can you do an e-learning project with 5,000 files and invest the same amount of time on each of those files that you would, say, on a 30-second national commercial spot in terms of just getting every little bit just right?
Right.
The right emphasis on every syllable, just the right little, what is the limit of time? How do you figure that all out? You know, how do you decide when it's too much time to invest in a project?
Well, after you've been doing it for a while,
yeah.
You know, I can see someone sends me a 20-page piece. I'm like, oh, it's going to take me 2 hours, maybe.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, it comes with some experience.
Well, that's why I said practice.
Yeah,
that's what's going to make the difference with this. Is, you know, keep using this stuff. Don't be intimidated by it. Try some of these tricks, and that will increase your productivity time significantly.
So when you get the occasional project where they say, here's what we need, here's the scope, and here's what we're paying you, have you been doing it so long that you just go through your head and go, that's not going to make me any money?
Right. Oh, absolutely. And if it's not what I want, it's like, hey, I'm sorry, this is what I charge. And 90% of the time, you know, they will call back and say, okay.
But you will not. Basically, have you ever written a client? I'm treading on some like ethical, shallow, thin ice here, right?
All right.
When you get a job that you think you could do it, but you might have to just kind of rush it or cut a corner or two to get it done on time to meet the budget. Do you take the job anyway and cut the corner to get the job done and make the bucks? Or do you tell the customer, you know what, at this rate, I'm going to have to...
I tell them at this rate.
I'm going to have to
cut a corner here and there. Yeah, you don't want me to cut corners. You want me to do this an honest job. I'm very thorough. I'm very precise in how I do things. I'm not just going to let this slide by. My voice is on there.
Exactly. And generally, your voice and eventually your name could be attached to that.
Exactly. And that's why, and that's why I don't let that kind of stuff go by. You know,
that's
and,
a good way to think about
it. I don't like getting upset with clients. You know, Bob Sauer always says, love your clients and watch the money flow in.
Yeah.
Or
invite the avalanche. Invite
the avalanche. That's what he says.
I always think of that with him.
Right. And, you know, and I try to be that way. And unless somebody's like really stupid.
Yeah.
In which case I go, you know, you're really stupid and
gently,
I really don't need your business.
You gently educate.
Gently.
Right?
I'm very gentle about it. Almost never tell anybody they're stupid, you know.
Oh, I mean, man.
You know, so anyway, but if you have a problem with your home studio or if you've never had a home studio and you're watching this show going, what on earth are these guys talking about? Mm-hmm. We can help you out. That's why we're here. That's how this show started. George and I are professional home studio consultants. We fix them, we build them, we design them from the ground up.
Yes.
If you don't understand how to use it, we can teach you.
We start with the basics. Putting a mic in your walk-in closet, all the way up to designing an HVAC system and soundproofing a wing of your house.
Yes, building a voiceover palace.
Whatever you got to do.
All righty. Well, all you got to do is contact us. George, you can contact George at...
Right down here
right
in
there,
front of my
there.
Screen.
Yeah, there it is, down there.
GeorgeTheTech.com. You can hire me by the hour, by the 15 minutes. You can do flat rate services like making chains and stacks. It's all right there.
Okay. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can go to my website, which is homevoiceoverstudio.com, or you write me directly at dan@danleonard.com. Make sure you go to the my site and click on the specimen collection cup and send me a sample of your audio so I can hear what's going on, give you a free analysis, and then we'll talk if you need some extra help.
You got it.
All right. Well, based on what we were just talking about, I bet our next guest is probably going to say, you know, that was the right way to handle that. Or she's going to go, mm-mm-mm. Liz Atherton is coming up. She's the owner of the Tag Agency and in Las Vegas, I believe. But she's in New York and she'll be with us right next here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Do not go away.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the home studio master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the home studio master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
It's time to talk about our wonderful sponsors, Source Elements, the creators of so many tools. Source Connect, Source Connect Now, Source Live, VizDin. Let's talk about VizDin. VizDin, virtual ISDN. I just heard it being spoken about on another podcast. Robert Marshall of Source Elements is a mad scientist when it comes to connecting you to your voice talent, you the voice talent to your clients. And the new tool of the trade is called VizDin or VISDN. It's virtual ISDN that connects your old ISDN codec from 1998 to the internet. Why do you care? Because talent need to have ISDN to work with certain clients. There are still studios that require that kind of connectivity, but you don't have to have ISDN lines anymore with VISDN, VizDin from Source Elements. It'll give you basically an ISDN connection with your existing hardware anywhere there's an internet connection, a good reliable internet connection. And if you have two internet connections, twice as reliable. It'll work with dual ISPs. Really cool. If you want to find out more about it, head over to source-elements.com and contact them over there for information. Tell them what we sent you. If you've got a Telos Zephyr collecting dust and you want to use it again, this might be the solution for you. So go check it out. Thanks for sponsoring us, and we'll be right back here with Liz on VOBS.
Minus, are we at minus 4 dB? We're at minus 4 dB on VOBS.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
Welcome back to VoiceOver Body Shop, and it's time to introduce our guest who's joining us tonight from New York City, which is a long way away and a lot later at night than here, as I recall from living in the East.
She is a trooper.
Yeah, she absolutely is tonight. Liz Atherton is owner of the Atherton Group Tag Talent Agency. Tag Talent Agency operates in California, Texas, and Louisiana, and has grown into one of the best boutique agencies in the U.S., consistently appearing in the top 1% list of IMDb's Power Talent Agencies. Tag represents professional award-winning actors and voiceover artists, as well as the most impressive rising stars in the business. Tag actors can be seen and or heard in many of the major TV, film, and VO projects currently on a screen near you. And welcome to our show for the first time, Liz Atherton.
Yay. Hi, guys.
Hi, how you doing? Nice to see
Great.
You.
Nice to see you, too.
Yeah. So just quickly, now you were listening to our discussion about what's the you know, the best way to deal with a client like that. Is that something that you deal with?
Well, we deal with clients every day. I think your advice was sound. And I also think... Congrats to everybody tonight for pulling this back with the boo-boos going on.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's what we do.
Good job.
Yes. The show always must go on.
Every week, it's Apollo 13. Yeah, it's... anyway, so you have a very successful agency going on here. And how did you get to be an agent? You were in the financial services business?
Oh, no. Way back in the day, I was in project management.
Ah.
I have a real bad echo. Just FYI.
Oh,
hold on. George will fix that. He knows how.
Oh.
Does that help?
I don't know. Nope. But I'll just keep talking. I'd love to hear myself talk.
All right.
So back in the day, I was a financial analyst and a project manager. And then I started a talent agency with a partner, or actually bought one that was existing. And that was, man, about 20 some odd years ago. And now I have no feedback. Just so you know,
we fixed it.
Okay, but I can't hear me at all.
Don't worry about it. You can, okay. As long as you can hear us, you don't have to listen to yourself. Don't you know you're not supposed to listen to yourself when you're doing this?
Oh my God, I didn't. Anyway, so I started this agency many, many moons ago. But the real success of the agency is because I work with some incredible people. The agents that work with me, Jimmy and Jorge, and Cam and our other guy, are just so terrific. And we represent what I consider some of the best talent in the business. And especially, I will knock it to VO, our clients, in the last few years, we've just been taking clients by referral, which has built a really cohesive talent group that just rock our world. True story.
Mm-hmm. So what's exciting about your profession? I mean, you wake up every morning, I can't wait to get into the office and do my job. What's your real passion in being an agent?
Oh, gosh. You know, everybody wants to hear the call you booked. And right. That's our passion. And, I mean, of course, we'd love them to book through our agency. But if we get a really cool booking or we hear about one of our actors booking something else really cool, we're just as thrilled. Build that resume. You build that resume in our agency. We'll have a lovely good time. So, you know, here lately I've been passionate about the software to help run all this stuff, but in the front end for the actors, I mean, like last night, I'm in New York because I went to the VoiceOver Arts Awards, which were so spectacular. I mean, first of all, I'm watching Bart Simpson give awards to Lily Tomlin and other people, and well, not Bart giving the award, but other people giving awards. And that was just amazing. But the camaraderie in the room for these VO people, from all over, actually the world, was just, they're so positive and pumped about each other. And that makes me happy.
Can't beat that.
Yeah, you really got to boost each other's, you know, boost each other because It can be so isolating in voiceover, right? So those kinds of community events, no matter how glitzy and glamoury or grassroots, you know, they have importance.
Right.
Well, and they do, because we all work in, I call it the cocoon industry. We all wrap ourselves, especially, you know, VO, in a sound booth. And unless you have a reason to get out of that booth, that's where you live and breathe every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, last night it was glitzy, but it's also fun to dress up every once in a while and kind of try to look pretty and all that kind of good stuff. But I think voiceover, what is so remarkable about it is that, you know, you have your sound. And if you have the sound of your 5 characters, your 40 characters, whatever you've got going, it's you. It's unique to you. With very rare exception, nobody else can sound like you. So if you are even auditioning for the same project with a friend, it's not something you can do. Well, I mean, you can always be better, but it's not something that you can change. Your tone is your tone. Their tone is their tone. You can't decide on the production end who's going to pick what. So the VO community, what I've experienced is that they're just supportive. Man, I've got this audition. You've got it too. Yeah, let's knock this out. I got to watch my mouth. Let's knock this
That's
out.
That's okay. We're not on the network here.
No FCC regulations. Yeah.
So I can say, well, anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's real supportive. And it's not like that and on camera, but it's not quite the same. It's just on camera, it is about a look. It is about a performance skill in front of people. Not that you don't do that with VO, but it's just different. And they're just a terrific group of people.
Yeah. Well, that's for sure that it is a great group of people. And we have a community, which is not something it probably doesn't exist the same way with screen actors or stage actors, right? Because you deal with them too.
I do. But, you know, some of the difference is that screen actors and, I'm theatrical, commercial, and VO, and then we're boutique, so we pick up some print as well. But in the on-camera community, there's camaraderie too, but, you know, they're not living and breathing their life in front of the computer.
Right.
Like VO are. So VO can be sitting there watching their Facebook feed and chatting in on that while waiting to run an audition over here or doing an edit over here. And in that way, they have a sense of community. Whereas on camera, you know, they go to auditions and they see each other auditions, but you're not talking in the casting room that you're only supposed to arrive at 10 minutes before you walk in.
Yeah.
There's events. I mean, certainly we have the big events like South by Southwest, you know, all these other kinds of things that go on. But there again, that's not a place where actors are communing. You know, maybe we should put together just an actors only something or another. But anyway, it's just different. Yes.
All righty. So why are agents important? Now, in today's marketplace, we've got all sorts of ways of getting work. But agents are the people that are going to get you the best work. What's your take on that?
Well, let's just imagine you're a production house or a producer or a casting director, and you've got to find the voice for your project. And if you're going to cast that net out to a sea of flowers, right? Well, an agent's only going to want to see the flowers that have purple leaves. I mean, a casting director is. And so an agent can go out there and bring that in and hone that in for them. That's one aspect. The biggest aspect is, man, we got your back. Our job is to be out there and getting you more projects, the better projects. And I know there's pay to plays and there's all sorts of avenues. I mean, heck, I've even seen on some of these sites where actors are trying to help find roles for other actors, VO actors, which is what it is. But an agent, we've got your back. We negotiate your contract. We make sure you get paid. We make sure that you're getting paid a fair amount. We have a key opportunity there. And we just make sure that it's done in a professional manner.
Right. Now, today, the marketplace has changed radically in the last, say, 6 months. there's been lots of changes that have really been affecting agents. I mean, things were getting pretty tough before, but with the purchase of Voice Bank by somebody who will remain nameless, unless I can name them, but we all know who I'm talking about. Anyway, how has that affected you? How has that changed how you do business?
Well, let's just say that there was a tsunami that happened about August 8th or 9th in the VO world. And what was interesting about it is that the way actors get projects, you know, with Voice Bank being purchased. Voice Bank was very kind to agents. We made sure that we were in the middle of projects. And to my understanding, they may be doing something along those lines still. But on the other side, the person doing or the company doing the purchasing had such a raucous, I don't know the right, not great reputation. And so when they purchased the other company, many actors felt like they were, that there might be an ethics question. I'm trying to be really careful here. Or there were concerns about being able to still get work. Or like on Voice Bank, you used to have access to production numbers, production houses that you could reach out, the actors could on themselves. Or they could also check to make sure that their demos were current. There was a lot of transparency on Voice Bank that I think people felt like would not still be there with the purchase. In our case, my particular agency, and there's some other agencies that have done this too, and many of us are part of an organization called the VO Agency Alliance, which is kind of a really cool thing. But you know, if the purchaser's business model did not include agents, then why would I want to stay with a company that's been purchased by that purchaser? Did you follow all that?
Yeah, that's about the most cogent way of explaining
it. Yeah, really.
Think of.
Well, you know, so if that business case doesn't support my business model, then it's very difficult for me to trust that it always will. And so did it affect my business? Heck yeah, it affected my business. We were booking a project a day, project every couple of days through that source. So my source for getting me a lot of my VO work went kaput. And by choice. We did this. We put out a message to all of our personal actors that we rep that we did this in solidarity with them. If they felt that this was not a good move, then we support them. Because at the end of the day, guys, even though we agents can be a lofty bunch and we think we're the best thing since sliced bread. Well, not all of us, but some of us do. You know, ultimately, we work for you. We work for you, the actor, not you work for us. And I mean, it's very interesting to me to go to events or get calls or whatever. Oh, Liz, I've heard all this about you. It's not me, man. It's you. You've heard about the agency because you guys rock our world, because you book stuff, because you say nice things. You know, we just do our job. So anyway, I digress. When that transaction happened and when we left that source, it became even more incumbent upon us to make sure that we had individual relationships with production houses all over. It's not as easy as it was, because when you went through Voice Bank, and in all love and fairness to Voice Bank, you know, they had established a lot of production relationships that it's easy. Let me go into this system. I can invite who I want to play and life will be beautiful. When that went away, these production homes, I don't know that they changed, because in their world, they don't care. They're still doing their job. In my world, I care because of the way the money flows. And the money needs to flow to the actor. Hands down, flow to the actor. I get my fee for helping it flow to the actor. I get my commission or whatever for helping it flow to the actor. But ultimately, that money goes to the actor. And that's where it's supposed to go.
Right. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Liz Atherton of the TAG Agency. Now, you're in Las Vegas, right?
I'm not. No, I'm in Austin.
Oh, you're in Austin. See, now I could tell she was in Texas. Yeah. So a couple of agents that I know are in Austin. Anyway, so we're talking with Liz Atherton about how the marketplace has changed and how she's adjusted. If you have a question for Liz Atherton, all you got to do is be in our chat room, and I'm sure some of you are, maybe most of you, type in the question, and Jack Daniel, our social media manager, will relay that question to us, and we'll talk about it in our next segment. So give you a little chance to think, what can I really ask Liz? Anyway, so what are you doing differently then? Since you're not using Voice Bank, how are you creating your leads now?
Well, I've been in this business for 20, I don't know, a long time, 20 plus years, and I have worked with I mean, I have a database of 1,500 different clients that I've worked with over time. And these are clients that are direct clients that we would invoice. When they're clients that they're union jobs, we still have a contact name. We still have someone that we're working with. And we are deliberately hand day, day out. We have set goals of who we're going to reach out to and say, hey, by the way, I know we've been working with you through this source. No disrespect to that resource, but can you also work with us directly? And we are doing that each and every day. We have to. In the meanwhile, we're also, you know, I was told you my passion right now is this software. That's a big help. It's called Cast Actors, and we've got Cast Voices, and they tie in with Agent 360 and Actor 360, and it's an enterprise system that we hope will be an option for people, but we're not ready to roll it out. And in the meanwhile, there are other project software out there. You know, it's kind of like when a tsunami like that hits, people have an opportunity for other cream to rise to the top. And we hope we're one of them. There's others out there. And hopefully there will be somewhere, you know, a couple of choices where the production houses will gravitate to that will help keep other people alive.
Yeah. Now, I think the one way that, you know, that I've been looking at it and we've been trying to express to people is that this is actually a great opportunity for people not to rely on, you know, these single sources, and that people should be really doing a lot of their own marketing and, you know, getting a good agent that can help them do that kind of stuff. Do you think that way?
Of course.
Oh, good.
I mean, yay.
Yeah.
I think people should, I mean, you're an entrepreneur. Every VO out there is an entrepreneur. They are in their own business. And you, if you relied only on one avenue of revenue for that business, you'd be crazy. That's why, I mean, even me, I got into voiceover probably about 16 years ago. After I was doing on camera, and I did it because, you know, you need to always diversify. You just need to do, you do. So back to the actors trying to get work. Yes. I mean, there's still going to be work on those other systems. And if you want to do those other systems, you know, all power to you, it's up to you. I think if you have opportunity that you have projects that you can run through your agent and it's not going to hurt you financially, I think you should do that because your agent's probably not making the same income they were 2 months ago.
Right.
You know, I think anything you can do to help yourself succeed, whether you're a VO or an agent or a television show or a radio show, whatever you've got going, do it ethically, do it right, do it without hold, you know, to hold others harmless, and you do your own work.
Absolutely. Okay, let me ask you this, because everybody wants an agent. What's the best way to approach an agent? At least, what's the best way to approach you?
Who? I'm sorry.
You're punchy. It's kind of late.
Yeah, it's late in New York.
Oh, no. I've got a team waiting for me. We're going to some skyline when we're done with this. So we're good.
Wow, okay.
It's my last night in New York. Are you crazy?
Oh, wow.
The best way to approach TAG, we like to, as I mentioned a minute earlier, we like to work through referrals. We have such a cohesive group of VO that, and we believe in them, that if they come to me and they say, look, I endorse person X, I've listened to them, they're really good, I've worked with them before, or I've been in class with them, or something along those lines. Well, boom, that's a heck of a letter of reference. That makes me open up the files and listen to their demo. And then there's your demo. You have to have a good demo. Matter of fact, one of the things I did at the Voice Arts Award is that I was part of a thing called a speed dating group where I listened to people come through and listen to their demos. And they're just, you know, they're all over the place. And like in demo world, let's just say you have a spot. I'm digressing. I hope this is okay. In demo world, you might have a where you've done a spot for a particular product company, and it's mixed in such a way that it's a whole mosaic of information. You know, they have their music that's supposed to evoke emotion, and da 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 da. Sometimes the voice is below the threshold level or sound level because they have a whole thing going on. In your demo, you need to hear that voice. So you need to make sure that you have your voice punched up so I can hear it. Because, I mean, all the production value is really nice. But if I can't hear what you're going to be when you step into a studio with a client and you're not produced yet, you're just voice. I want to make sure that it's what I hear and it's what they're going to hear. And then it mixes within my organization. I hope that made sense to you.
It makes complete sense.
Cool. Do we still agree?
Yeah, we still do. Well, of course, here's the thing that I can do. I mean, you know, if I needed representation, I'd ask some people I have in my audience here. Can we go to the audience cam for a second there, Andrew? We know it's there somewhere. Where are they? Oh, there they are. Yay! You know these people? Hey,
I do.
Would you guys refer me in there?
Yes. Don't hire Dan. Hire Dan.
You should have rehearsed this before the show.
No. It's much more fun spontaneous. Well, that was a rousing endorsement. Well, anyway. All right. Again, if you've got a question for Liz Atherton here on VoiceOver Body Shop, throw it in the chat room, and we will ask it of her in just a very few moments. But right now, we're going to take a break, and we're going to tell you about some stuff you have to buy, and we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Stay where you are.
Style. Power.
You're watching the home of the NFL.
The all-new iPhone.
Reserve your Disney World season pass now.
Through all the runny noses, 3 a.m. coughs.
An all-new American crime story tonight on FX.
This week only, it's Pasta Fest at Olive Garden.
Heart rate? Prime. Blood pressure? Perfect.
I grew up with the classics. And now with StubHub, I can get authentic tickets to the best shows.
The all-new Chevy Cruze. From $16,995.
Be inspired. Then get the beauty that's uniquely yours at Sephora.
This week at Home Depot, it's our Garden Fest sale with up to 30% off all garden tools, sod, and seeds.
Hi, it's J. Michael Collins, and these are just a few examples of the first-class demos my team and I are producing. If you'd like to have something similar, visit jmcvoiceover.com and click on the Demo Production tab to find out more.
All righty. You know, I had to go to Portland this week. Yeah, and I took my Portabooth Pro. I told you about it last week. It worked great. Kind of a noisy hotel. I wake up in the morning. It's like they're cutting a sidewalk.
Great.
It's like, oh, boy, there's a little bit of noise. But the Portabooth worked great. But Harlan Hogan wanted to tell Liz, I think I have the record for the most extreme actor actions to ensure representation. He married his agent. Harlan says she still doesn't return my calls, though. We've talked about the MicPort Pro on this show many times before.
Sure.
It was a revolutionary thing, and it's still a great little thing, especially if you're on the road.
Still a perfect portable workhorse.
Right, and it can actually be your entire interface. Well, here's the thing. This has apparently been a general unavailability of the MicPort Pro lately.
It happens.
And because Harlan is such a fan of the product and I'm close friends with their inventor, he stocked up a few months back and had them in stock and expect they'll all be gone before the holidays.
They have a Chicago connection going on.
Yeah, they're in Chicago. Yes, yeah, that's right. You know, now it's odd to us and to Harlan that all a bunch of other retail sites claim to have MPPs, MicPort Pros. But if you try to place an order, the best you'll get is a back order or a coming soon message. Not at voiceoveressentials.com. Here's what you do. Go to the bottom of the page. Click on the picture of Harlan Hogan that's right down there on the VOBS.TV page and go to his website from there and find a MicPort Pro there. He's got them in stock. You can get them. And, you know, you're not going to get a back order message.
Nope.
You're going to be able to buy one.
It'll come in a week probably or less.
That's right. So Harlan's an honest guy. He doesn't want to do business saying, yeah, we got it. No, well, actually, it's on
back order.
You got
to watch it on Amazon. It could say Prime, but then the little fine print, it says ships in 1 to 2 months.
Right.
Don't get stuck in that situation.
On a slow boat from, you know,
across the,
you know, Bosnia. Yeah. You know, it's... I don't know why they'd have them there, but, you know, but anyway, that's, you know, I'm sure some stuff comes out of there. But anyway, Harlan Hogan, voiceoveressentials.com, the place to get your voiceover equipment. So go on over there right now and buy everything he has, including the MicPort Pro. We'll be right back.
Latest in voiceover technology.
Business.
A good old-fashioned actor.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.tv.
Thanks for joining us once again for another episode of Voice Over Body Shop. Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Voice Over Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about you.
And we're back. Liz Atherton is joining us. And you know, it's late at night in New York, but she's going to make a long
she's
evening
a
of
total
it.
Total pro.
All right. So so you had a good time last night at the Savoas Awards?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's the Society of Voice Arts and Sciences. It was so terrific. They put on a great show. Joan and Rudy did such a fabulous job. We had 14 of our VO nominated for multiple awards. I was there to support what they were doing, and that was terrific. We had several winners. Some of them won multiple. So I'm sitting there screaming like a little girl. You know, when they would win. And then there was a party afterwards, and it was just a really terrific, well-done thing.
Very good. All right. You ready for some questions from our vast audience all across the Fruited Plain?
We got a lot of them.
Yes, you bet.
George?
Should we kick it off? We had this one come in from email. I just found this one. I'm glad I did. From Teresa Dodge. Looking forward to tomorrow's podcast. Well, that would be tonight.
Yesterday, yeah. Right.
Yeah. I would like to know Liz's thoughts on Voice Casting Bank, which kicked off its soft launch on November 1st as an option to cast and manage voice talent.
Hmm.
Voice Casting Bank. That's a new one to me.
I think it's out of Toronto or something like that.
I wish I could give you an answer. I really know nothing about that. I mean, I know that they launched, but I don't know the software. I'm sorry to not be having an answer for you. No. I normally would answer anything, but they're new. They're starting out. Again, remember I was talking a few minutes ago about how other options will come out here.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm sure that person that has developed that software is hoping all goodness that they're the cream that rises to the top.
Yeah. I think it's a situation where because it created a crisis, it created the
solutions.
Chance. Well, it created the chance for competition.
Well,
you know,
it did. I mean, so in my case, we've had software that has been running our website now for 18 years, and we were already going through a revision. And when the tsunami hit, and that's what I refer to in the purchase. So when the tsunami hit, we were also in the back end creating cast voices and cast actors. And suddenly that became the priority over the agent software and the actor software. And now it's kind of like, well, we can't really have a priority. We've got to get them all out there. And, you know, and I know a lot of software development, they're rushing, and we're not going to rush. I mean, we are going to do it because ours is an enterprise system. We hope to have hundreds of thousands of users, just like I'm sure everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to protect the agent. We're going to protect the rates. We're putting in measures to make sure that the good stuff happens. And, you know, I our hope is that we are ready to go, at least mostly at VO. We're going to VO Atlanta. So our hope is on March 1st that, you know, we're ready. So I don't mean to digress from the question. I just don't know much about them because we are building our relationships individually so that we don't run into these other problems again.
All right.
That's really smart. I'll tell you, I know what it feels like to be, you know, working on something and then all of a sudden you have to basically put it online extremely rapidly.
Really.
I'm quite familiar with what that feels like, having to start a new company.
You know,
while
like in the
flying.
Last 45 minutes.
While building a plant. Well, that I'm talking about the tonight, but also launching a new company very rapidly. And it's kind of like building an airplane while you're flying it and hoping it flies before you hit the ground. I kind of know how that
know,
feels.
I know, right?
Flap really, really hard.
This one's from
Paul Stefano asks,
yes,
when's a good time to follow up with an agent on a submission? And when is it time to give up if you haven't heard back?
You know, here's the thing. We get We get emails every single day with people looking for representation every day. And so if we're, I'm going to use an on-camera example because people, let's just say it's the middle of pilot season and you are out there trying to get your, you know, a series regular here, or a series regular there or whatever, or you're in the middle of, you know, 47 voiceover auditions and somebody sends their materials in and you just flat out miss it. So I tell people, if you don't hear in 30 days, send it again. If you don't hear in another 30 days, perhaps you move on, or you take a step back and you take a different approach. Again, at our agency, we take by referral. So if an email comes to me and it comes with an endorsement from somebody we rep, I'm going to open it. I want to do that certainly out of respect for the new talent, but mostly out of respect for someone that would take the time to refer somebody to us.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Dave Smith says, how does a newbie or an inexperienced or little experienced voicer go about getting an agent? I mean, how much time should you have invested into your career before you really put the effort in?
I mean, how do you answer that when you rep four-year-olds? You know,
well,
I mean,
that's true.
Good point. Yeah.
So, so my answer to him is he ready?
Right.
And if he's ready, then he's ready for an agent. He may not get one, mm-hmm. you know, but the thing with VO is that you don't have to step into my office with an exploded resume where you do with on camera. Mm-hmm. So in VO world, if you know what you're doing and you can step in front of a mic and hit your copy like you're supposed to hit it, you're ready. I mean, you're ready.
Yeah.
God, I'm watching myself on this, and every time I do that look, I know
it's it's a whole new experience, isn't it?
Yeah. You look great. Don't worry about it.
No, thanks.
You're doing great. No, really.
From the lovely and talented Karen O'Brien.
Hi, girl.
Yeah. It's just, is it okay to ask your agent for audition performance feedback? And if so, how often?
Well, of course, it's okay to ask your agent for all those words. Here's the thing. I'm just, hi, Karen. Nice to hear from you, honey. Remember that on any given day, let's just say that we pop out two auditions. We used to be popping out six a day or seven a day. Let's just say, but we pop out two. And on that day, we're looking for men 30 to 40 and on one copy, and we're looking for women 30 to 40 on another copy. We could get upwards of 20 to 30 auditions on each project. So now we're talking about 40 to 60 files. And we can give you audition feedback, but keep in mind that on that day, we've listened to 40 or 60 files. We've had to reach out to a couple of people that says, hey, you need to redo that. It didn't sound good when it came over the wire. 40 to 60 files. And let's just imagine that it's just 15-second copy. Do the math. And then there's the rest of the job of being an agent, which is not just submitting the materials. You know, there's the whole other back end of that. So when an actor comes forward and says, hey, will you listen to my audition tape? We will, but don't expect it right then. And please don't expect it before you even send it in. Because you can ask that if you're really, I mean, if it's a big, big deal. Well, they're all big deals, but be remembering, gosh, my words, I need to just slow down. Mindful of the fact that there are a lot of files that are coming through my ears, Jimmy's ears, Cam's ears. And to stop and listen to that 15-second one over and over again so I can turn around and give you feedback is hard. I don't mean that. So the better thing is to say, hey, I submitted this today. I mean, because it's gone, right? We've moved it on. But if you when you're off time, can you take a listen to it and tell me what you think? Not in the middle of the audition process, I guess, is the best answer.
Mm. Yeah, good one. Well, which leads to George's question, which is sort of a tech question. And
yes, one of the things that I do for my clients who are some, you know, that work with you and many other agents is I prepare help them prepare their audio to be audition ready. And okay. So one of the things that we do is I set up some processing for them. So when they send in that file to you or whoever they're auditioning with, that file sounds more like it's a finished product, not like a raw file. Is that what you want to hear? Do you like to hear it? And I know you talked about this a little bit earlier, but do you want it to sound kind of like it's pretty much polished? Or are you really looking for a completely raw sound? Because knowing that, you're going to probably have to turn the volume up to hear one person's voice, and then the next one's going to blow you out of your headphones, and you have to turn it down. What do you prefer?
Okay, so this is an audition file, right?
That's right. This is auditioning.
Here's the thing about really producing an audition file is that it depends on how skilled your actor is. Because if you've really worked with them for a really polished file and they book and you're not sitting there with them when they go to the session so that they can give the very same sound that you worked with them for a long time to get, then we've got a problem.
Yeah.
Now, and you understand where I'm coming from that?
Oh, yeah. Sure do.
Okay. And that's what that's a little one of my concerns with when demos are overdone and somebody's worked on them for months and months and months.
Yeah.
Because they can't walk into a studio and repeat the effort. And when somebody's booking them, so from an audition, if they can't sound like that easily, then we've got a problem. Now, you also, I'm sure you work with clients that are just, they rock your socks because they're so good.
Sure.
Produce the hell out of them. You know, because you know that they're gonna walk into it. So I don't know if I'm giving you the answer you want to hear, but I'm giving you the answer.
No. It's I mean, the way that I work with people is I don't work with them when they do the audition. I work with them long before they've ever done the audition, so that when they do the audition, they already have the tools to do it well and get a great sounding production when they send it in.
But that's good. But then that's good. Yeah. Right? Because they're walking in prepared. Just like any actor, you want to know your copy. You want to know what your character was thinking. You want to know, you know, if my character is a monkey, do I have that monkey sound down? I mean, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Pardon me. But yes, so effectively you're training them. And you can never, I mean, even Lily Tomlin last night said, you know, I was going to go take Bob Bergen's animation class, and the point was made, you can never have too much training. Someone is as successful as Lily Tomlin is still training. So you will always get a rah-rah sis boom bah from me for any kind of work you do to help them be better at what they're doing.
All
right,
thank you.
Paul Stefano asks, I hope I understand this question, what can voice actors do in this new climate to help you at Tag Agency? I mean, a united front, or I'm not exactly sure what you mean there. Maybe you can figure that out.
Well, I mean, I think it's actually a really good question.
Good.
Because, I mean, here's one of my concerns, and I probably am not going to be popular when I finish saying it, but I'm going to say it anyway. So you've got many of us agents that went out there, honest to goodness, in support of our actors. And of course, the business case model went the tsunami, right? But yet some agencies didn't leave. That's their prerogative. People can do business any way they want to do business, ethically. But actors, many of the actors who are with the agencies that left, that rooted us on, stayed with the agencies that stayed on there. And so they're still supporting the effort in another realm. Is that making clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's a little hard to see, because you're like, well, man, I gave up my income to make sure that we did right by you, and you cheered me on, but you're still playing in that field over there that you weren't going to. But again, everybody's an entrepreneur and it has to do what they want. What can really help your agent is if you get a project and you want somebody to negotiate it for you, or you want somebody to help you with it, put your agent in the middle. Let them help you, man. Because they've been helping you on all along. Every time they send in an audition, they're helping you, whether they're making any money off of that or not. So get in there and throw them the bone. Let them help you on something that you maybe have there. Because I don't know. I don't know if I'm answering that or not. It's kind of a dicey subject.
We're getting thumbs up in the audience, so
definitely. Oh, okay.
I think you got that one nailed. Trey Mosley asks, how do agents feel about working with a management firm? That's part one of this question, then I'll ask you part two if we can.
Well, I have met a lovely manager a couple of times, Celia, who's just delightful. Managers run the business of being an actor. Agents run the fiduciary side and the gathering of auditions. Managers also do that well. So if you've got two people in your corner, go, buddy.
Say that again.
Sorry. So if you have two people, a management team and an agent team, and probably multiple agent teams helping you get better at what you're doing, then I think that's fine. I have no problem with managers, unless they're creepy.
That really helps to demystify what the manager does a little bit, you know, that really, you know, because I think it's a little mystifying to some people.
Well, I mean, think of it, and I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Go ahead.
Your manager's your CFO, your CEO. You know, they're there to help make sure your schedules are good. They also funnel you auditions because they work with lots of agents and all that kind of stuff, or they may have their finger on the pulse of something else. So I like having a manager help my actors build their resume.
Mm. And the second part is, would you as an agent try to find a specific type of work if a talent on your roster requested it? For example, find me video game work, please.
Our promo, right. Or, you know, they all want in. Yeah. You know, honey, I can assure you, any kind of work I can get, I'll get.
Yeah.
And you know, so whether it's just for you or whether it's for everybody within the agency, finding work is not so much as just hitting a button saying, okay, today we're going to go for video games and tomorrow we're going to do TTS. And then tomorrow after that, it doesn't work that way. You build relationships with clients, casting directors, producers, advertising agencies. To me, I had a lovely time with a guy from Showtime this past weekend trying to, you know, he does promos for Showtime. I certainly wanted to make, you know, sure that we had a connection because I'd like to pick up Showtime promos. But it's for the agent side, it's building those relationships and letting them understand that you have a killer roster. And, you know, if you come to me, you're going to get some really nice voices to play, at least for you to listen to. Just going and finding specific work, I guarantee you, every single day I'm trying to pick up video games. Every single day I'm trying to pick up promo. And I can tell you it's for you, and I will, because it is for you, but it's also for the agency and it's for everybody else. I don't know if that's probably the answer that Trey's looking for, but the truth is, Trey, I'd help you. You can come to me and say that, but it's not like I can just go knock on a door and say, hey, include tag in your next email submission or your next this submission or that submission. I have to prove myself to them as an agency, and that's kind of the other side of what we do every single day. I mean, we talk, we just do. So now I'm going to digress. Let's keep going.
We got one last question.
One last
question. Get the heck out of here.
Yeah, and go out and play. Yeah. From Devox, he says, agents are busy. What's the best way to get objective, meaningful, more detailed feedback from agents regarding improving demos, expanding into more genres, etc.? Speaking of improving demos, what are some of the newer trends of voices that voice seekers are looking for, and how should our updated demos address that? Go.
Good
Just
Lord.
an easy wrap up the show kind of.
Yeah.
Boom.
That was not one question.
No, that was actually three.
At least three.
It was.
The
right,
first one. Best
three.
Way to get objective, more detailed feedback.
Yeah.
Chocolate and honey whiskey.
I've heard that one before.
Hello.
You heard that stuff, Jack? Does that work for you, Jack?
Oh, yeah. Repeat the question.
Okay. Let's just do one of these questions because there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
What's the best way to get objective, meaningful and detailed feedback from an agent regarding improving your demos? I mean, what's the best way to go?
Okay, so I'll answer that one. I mean, the best way is just to ask. J. Michael Collins is doing a new, I think they're called 6-second little interstitial kind of, or not interstitial, but little blurbs of demos. I really like those. Matter of fact, last night, and I'm not trying to give somebody a plug. I apologize if it wasn't.
It's all right. You like someone, you plug them. That's the way it works.
Hey,
well,
he's one of our sponsors, for crying out loud.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. There you go. But he does these really, and he does original copy. And so I like those. So, but you were asking about trends. And to me, that's one of the trends, and I agree with it. You know, to me, on a demo tape, each segment should kind of blend well into the other, and they should be like about 8 to 10 seconds long. I've heard you enough at 8 to 10 seconds to know that you can do that voice, and then the next voice, and the next voice. So to me, it's a blend. It's, you know, 30 seconds to a minute for your commercial demo, but give me different sound between each one. The best way to get good feedback, so no, I wasn't forgetting, is to just ask. Keep in mind that we listen to stuff all the day long, so we need to have an off time so we can actually listen to it. And that's a good. One of the things that some other actors have done is the VO weekly workout. Highly recommend the VO weekly workout, because people can submit their demos, and those guys bring in different coaches or different agents or different directors or different producers each and every week. And so you can submit, it's not your full demo, but you can submit copy that they're requesting, and you get, you know, valid feedback in a really good way. But as for your demo with your agent, because you're not going to get feedback on your demo from somebody else other than your agent. So to feedback from your agent is to simply ask, send it, say, hey, and I'm probably guilty, and I'm sorry, guys. I've been like crazy, because I know some of my actors have asked for them too. But, you know, send it, say, please give me feedback. I want to go live with this. I want your opinion. But if we give you feedback, don't argue with us.
And on that note, Liz, thanks so much for being with us tonight, coming all the way from New York and over the internet to join us tonight.
And if you include the time zone change, or the time zone and the time change, it's almost midnight to her right now.
Really?
So it's 10:51.
Right. She's from Central Time, not from Mountain Time or Pacific Time. True. So
it's my last night in New York, the city that never sleeps, nor does Liz.
All right. Well, then you're in good shape. All right. Thanks so much for being with us. We look forward to having you on again. And thank you for all the great answers and for the fantastic work you do.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Y'all take it easy.
All righty.
Hi, Liz.
Good night.
Good night. Okay. So, right, that was great.
She was fantastic.
She was. I love that Texas accent.
Me too.
It gets you every time.
I love when we get agents on, because that is some really, that is one of the most mysterious parts to people who are new to the VO world, or even had a few years in and don't have one.
Right.
What's going on with this agent?
Yes. Alrighty. So we're going to be right back here to wrap things up into a nice tight little ball and get you on your way. But don't go away quite yet. We'll be right back.
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. Now there's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products and services, while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, casting, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports and get 14 bonus reports on how to ace the voiceover audition. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
Hey, what you doing this Sunday, November 12th? I'm excited to be teaching the VO Dojos. You know, you should have a home voiceover studio intensive live right here in LA. All you need to know, and don't need to know, to have the most effective and affordable home studio setup as a working voiceover pro. Finding the right equipment, the best sounding acoustics, proper mic technique, and knowing what a good recording is supposed to sound like, or my acronym WHISTLE, all within your budget. Everything we talk about on this, right here on VOBS, focused into one live power pack Sunday afternoon. The You Should Have a Home Studio Intensive is coming up Sunday, November 12th. And a special offer for you, use the promo code VOBS, all caps, to save $50. Space is limited, so go to thevodojo.com and grab your spot today. It's going to be lots of fun, and you're going to learn a lot.
You're still watching VOBS?
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
All righty, we're back. Next week, on this very show, we're going to do some engineering stuff.
Another New Yorker.
New Yorker, but who's...
Someone in New York who actually is a New Yorker.
Right, and is an engineer, a female engineer.
Yeah. A very talented one, at that.
Yes, she's a real star in the audiobook business, dealing with this kind of stuff. Amanda Rose Smith, and she's got a very active web page.
Oh yeah,
and she's got some interesting opinions about things. So join us next week for that. And we're trying to get some really other great people on for the month of November.
Yeah, it's a busy, busy time of year for everybody in the biz. We're all working our butts off, so
yeah.
Getting people in here is a little more challenging. But Catherine, you got your work out for you. She's doing a great job, though. She's keeping us booked with guests. Thanks,
yes.
Catherine.
Who are our donors of the week?
Let's take a look over on the email.
Donations. Well, there you go.
There we go. We got donations from Eric Aragone.
Yay.
Always have donations from Eric Aragone.
We appreciate it.
Jorge Infante. That's a cool name. Jorge Infante. I'm assuming that's the right way to say your name, Jorge. I'll keep going wider. Eventually, I can read all the names. We've got one from Joe Lesh. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe. Thanks. All right. Nashville.
Tracy H. Reynolds. Thank you very much. He donates almost every single episode. We've also got one from last week. Is that two from Eric in the last week?
Every Sunday. We see from him every Sunday.
Yeah, so cool. Shanna Pennington Baird. She's one of our sustaining donors. And Antland Productions. Many of these folks donate every single month and sometimes every week.
Yeah, because
really appreciate
they know what's important.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All righty. Our opening VO tonight was provided by Doug Turkel, the announcer. I really like the way he does
this. He's a chameleon.
He is. He's really great. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Show logs. You can get the show logs. They're right up there somewhere. Just click on show logs. Yeah, they're on our website.
They're also in the YouTube. Actually,
this is true, and that's the best part about it.
Yeah, I think it's even more handy in the YouTube comments because then they're time indexed. So you can click on the time that you see, and it will jump to that spot in the show and take you right there.
Right.
It's pretty awesome.
If you miss something that Liz said tonight, you're like, what was that about this or that?
And you can skim through the notes and find it.
Thanks, Jack. We really appreciate that. And we have a podcast.
Yeah, we do. This podcast version of the show, which many of you are probably listening to right now, you found it on Stitcher Radio or iTunes, or you just searched on your favorite podcatcher, typed in VOBS and found us. And, conversely, because we always plug the podcast, I want to plug to the podcast listeners the live show. So if
join
you've
us.
Been listening to the show for the last 5 or 6 years, and maybe someday you want to carve out a Monday night, be here on a Monday night. It's 6 p.m. Pacific time, VOBS.TV. Sometimes a little bit later than that, we might get a little bit late start like we did tonight, but that's when you'll find us.
Yeah, just write to us. The guys, that's George and I, at VOBS.TV.
If you want to be here live.
If you want to be here live, like our audience tonight.
Like physically in person. You can actually be in this room with us.
Yes.
And see the
color bars,
on the screen. Okay. We have fun around here.
See television production at its most raw.
Tasty snacks.
And that we do.
Yeah.
All righty. Let's thank our sponsors. Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VO2GoGo and Rehearsal App.
The VO Dojo.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
Yes. And, of course, J. Michael Collins Demos. All of them for helping us get this show on the road.
Pushed out through the pipes into the world for you guys to all to see.
That's right. All right, well, we need to thank a few people, like we do every week. We need to thank Marcy for letting us be out here in the garage.
Thanks, Marcy.
We appreciate that. Our producer, Catherine Curridan.
That's right. And our wonderful chat room mod, Jack Daniel, who is here in person. Everybody!
Yeah.
Give it up for Jack Daniel.
Yes.
The man.
Yes, and of course, our floor producer and amazing director, Andrew Bushwitz.
Yes.
Yes. Put on the applause sign there.
Indeed, indeed.
All right. And Jack DeGoli for the show notes. And of course, Lee Pinney, who I know is out there tonight. So thanks for being Lee Penny. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week, and we appreciate you joining us every Monday night here, no matter what time we're here. And remember, this is not an easy business. We're trying to get you the best information, the best things that are going to give you an advantage to succeed in your voiceover career. So that's going to do it for us. I'm Dan Leonard.
And Mateo, if you're watching, stay tuned. We got a lot more for you. And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop
or VO BS. We'll see you next Monday night, kids. Bye.
Good night.
Man, there's one show that I can't miss. It's called VO BS. And a lot of people are like, VO BS? What is that? Man, it's BS about VO. And I love VO. How much BS is going to be in this show? There's only one way to find out, baby.